Blog Talk Radio.
Stop wasting time with Mr. Wrong and decide to prepare yourself to find Mr. Right. Mr. Wrong will never be Mr. Right. Now is the time to say goodbye to Mr. Wrong right now. Get out of the singles bars and off the internet, because Mr. Right is waiting for you on your own personal divine path. Mr. Right wants to get married as much as you do. Mr. Right wants everything you want. Devoted love, acceptance, appreciation, honesty, validation, and faithfulness. So get ready to find Mr. Right. Join wedding officiant Reverend Marcy Ann as she shares with you her 20 years of experience meeting with thousands of brides and grooms and hearing their love stories of what works and what doesn't work. Every week, Reverend Marcy Ann will be expanding on the ideas and principles that she has written about in her book, 17 Things to Do While Waiting for Mr. Right, which is available at www.MrRightForMe.com and at Amazon.com. And now, here is Marcy Ann.
Well, welcome to all of the ladies who wish to find Mr. Right, and welcome to any men who might be tuning in tonight who perhaps would like to find Miss Right. I know that every woman wants to find Mr. Right, and deep down inside of every man, I believe, is a true desire to find Miss Right. I mean, even if he's with Miss Right now, right now. And that goes for you too, Miss Right. Are you currently with Mr. Right now, right now? But you'd really like to find Mr. Right? Well, each week we're going to look into some aspect of ourself that is operating that could be serving as an attraction, because our life is always sending out messages. If we are breathing, if we're breathing, we're creating vibrations, you know, breathing in and breathing out. And although breathing is operated automatically by our sympathetic nervous system, the very act of our breathing is making waves. Every in-breath is taking in energy from our environment, and every out-breath is releasing out energy. And the energy that is being taken in and the energy that is being released out is some aspect of our self that is either attracting what we want or repelling what we want, or attracting what we don't want and repelling what we do want. So the purpose of the show tonight is to begin to empower our very breath to create an attraction. You know, an attraction is a magnetizing energy. You know, a magnet either pulls towards itself or it repels away from itself. And since all of us are an electromagnetic field of energy, our energy is either attracting or repelling. So we need to develop our electromagnetic field of energy so it will attract Mr. Right to us and repel everybody else. Now, in my 20 years of marrying brides and grooms, I have seen that people just really don't like to be alone. And I truly believe that within every single person there is a feeling that they do need to try to find the rest of themselves. Because in an esoteric sense, you know, we could think of ourselves as part of a single ray of energy that came forth, a ray of light that came forth, and then it split into two rays, a masculine energy and a feminine energy. And then if we're not with that part of us that is separated from ourselves, we feel alone. Now, I live in a retirement community, and the kind of exercise I like is to swim. So I go to the pool and either walk in the pool and or do laps. And there was a gentleman that used to come to the pool doing his laps, and in between laps, we sometimes would chat. And he complained, and he complained, and he complained about his girlfriend. So I said, well, so the two of you aren't married? No, he said, but we have been together 10 years. So I asked, well, if you're so unhappy, why don't you break up with her? And he said, because being with her is better than being alone. That's what he said. He just couldn't face the idea of being alone. And let me tell you, ladies, it is harder for a man to be alone than it is for us to be alone. You know, a man's not trained to be alone. He's raised by a mother who feeds him and washes his clothes and tells him what to wear and how to stand and what to say and what to do. And a man is used to this, and he needs it. And cooking and cleaning and laundry are things that just happen for a man. Somebody else does this. And even though today the working woman expects the man to cook and clean and do laundry, this is sort of a relatively new wrinkle on the cloth. But, you know, over 50% of our population now is over 50. And these men who are over 50 are used to a woman taking care of them. And, of course, primary on this list of needs that he has are his sexual needs. And while it's hard for a woman to be alone, it's just men just can't be alone. And that's why a man usually is with a woman, whether she's a one-night stand or a wife or a girlfriend or a wife and a girlfriend. A man has sexual needs, and a man needs to have sex to be physically at his best. And while I truly believe a man prefers to have sex in a loving and trusting relationship, he's going to get sex in any kind of an environment that allows for sex. And for him, in those other environments outside of a loving, trusting relationship, it is just sex. And women need to understand this. Because if a woman is going to try to use sex to get a man, I mean, mostly what she's going to get is used and abused. Not that he's out there in a premeditatively evil idea in his mind, but, you know, sex for sex is one thing to a man, and sex for love is another. Well, and you know what? There's also a cultural system in place. I mean, just let the woman know about a single man, and there's an instantaneous flurry of activity to try to get this man hooked up. Here in my retirement community of 18,000 residents, I think 17,500 of them are single women. So if a single man shows up here, there's this immediate parade of women knocking on his door, taking him food. We call it the casserole brigade. And a lot of times it's the first woman who gets there and knocks on the door that he hooks up with, because it's just so hard for a man to be alone. So let's look at this idea of being alone. And it's Friday night, you know, and we're alone, right? Now, I'm going to make a suggestion to you that it's better for you to be alone than to be with Mr. Wrong. And that's why I wrote my book, 17 Things to Do While Waiting for Mr. Right. Because in addition to going into all of the things that a person should consider if they want to find Mr. Right, the book also gives you a big bunch of stuff to do while you're waiting for Mr. Right to show up. But let's look at what we believe about being alone. What is involved in being alone? And you can be alone for all sorts of reasons. I mean, perhaps you've just started your journey to find Mr. Right. You know, or perhaps you're currently in a relationship, but the two of you really aren't happy, and you already feel alone. Or perhaps you've already broken up with your boyfriend and now you would like to get a new boyfriend. Or perhaps your partner in life has passed away, or perhaps you're just now divorced and are still raising your children. Or perhaps you're still single, even though you're now in your 30s or 40s. You know, when my book first came out and I was going to book signings and giving talks around at all the different places, most of the women who did come to hear me speak were single women in their 30s and 40s who still had not found Mr. Right. And all of us are subject to the dictates of the mass mind consciousness. And that's kind of a fancy way of saying that we care about what other people think about us. And there still is a judgment within our society that if you're single, you know, for whatever reason you're single, there's something wrong with you. And perhaps being single isn't looked at as being as negative today as it has been in the past, but as a society, the single person is usually looked at as being something different, you know, kind of like an oddity, or perhaps a socially awkward person who just doesn't fit in. And part of being that person is being alone. So I looked up that word alone in my Roget's The Thyrsis, and the primary definition of alone is unity. Doesn't that seem like a contradiction? But unity consciousness means being a very unique, one and only, one of a kind individual expression. And that's what you are. You're a unique, one and only, one of a kind individual expression. And as that expression, you are in union with every other unique, one-of-a-kind, individual expression of humanity. And that was the first definition of alone, being in unity. I think it's being in unity with yourself. Isn't that a different way to look at being alone? And the next primary definition of being alone is simpleness. Now, this is a very empowering way to look at being alone, simple. Simpleness is considered purity. So being simple in your life will purify your life, and that's going to activate some eliminations and get rid of some stuff. Being simple is going to set up a system that unmingles and uncombines you with those circumstances or people who make your life complicated and muddy the water. So being simple means that you just will be solely and exclusively separate and apart, unaccompanied and unassisted, standing in the ancient ways until Mr. Right shows up. Can you see yourself doing that? Can you see yourself as a priestess in a long, flowing robe made of pure spun gold, standing in the sunlight in full power of yourself? Standing exclusively and solely separate and apart, unaccompanied and unassisted, standing in the ancient ways until Mr. Right shows up. And then the final primary definition of alone is freedom. Just listen to this list of descriptions of freedom: unconstrained, unrestricted, unchecked, uncontrolled, unchained, unburdened, footloose and fancy free, independent, liberated. You know, if you look at those words, you know, being alone doesn't sound so bad to me. Unchained, unchecked, unrestricted. I love those words. They just resonate down inside of me, and I want to say yes. Yes. I'm going to make my own decisions. You know, nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm free. So just think in terms now of alone as being unit, a single unit in unity. Very, a life that is very simple and a life of freedom. Okay, now let's look at the physical fact that our breathing in and out is operated by our sympathetic nervous system. Because I just love this idea. Our nervous system is sympathetic. Just think about that for the moment. So what it's saying is the nervous system is operated by the God spark that beats your heart. And the God spark that beats your heart with great love and sympathy is desiring for every jot and tittle of your life to be fulfilled. You know what the jots and tittles are? Every notion, every fancy, every dream, every hope, every desire you have ever had. These are the jots and the tittles. And even in the Bible, Jesus said it's God's will for every part of our life to be fulfilled. He said, I didn't come here to destroy everything. I came to fulfill it. Every jot and tittle shall be fulfilled. So sympathy is a word that makes you feel God's not happy when something bad happens to the one that is loved. And God's not happy unless every jot and tittle's being fulfilled. So the sympathetic nervous system keeps everything going in a very caring and meticulous way so that you have energy available now to make your dreams come true. The sympathetic nervous system says to you, you don't have to think about keeping your heart beating or your lungs breathing or your liver cleansing your body or your stomach digesting your food. I'm going to take care of all of this for you so that you can take all of your time to make sure that every jot and tittle in your life is fulfilled. So that is why as we breathe in and out, you want to make sure that when you're breathing in, you're breathing in an optimistic attitude, an attitude of childlike playfulness and excitement. And when you're breathing out, you breathe out in an attitude of thankfulness and gratefulness. And just be thankful and grateful for your sympathetic nervous system. That's taking care of everything for you so that you have time to, in an attitude of childlike playfulness and excitement, fulfill all your jots and tittles. So now take a deep breath. Let's just do a little practice right here. Take a big, deep breath and hold it. And now let it go out. And now when you take the next big deep breath, think about what you think would make you happier than you have ever been in a long, long, long time. And while you take in that next big deep breath, see yourself actually doing what it is you just thought about that would make you happy. See yourself doing it. And now release it out And as you release, be grateful and thankful that you have the energy to make that dream come true. Do you know just breathing like this for a certain amount of time every day will set up a scalar wave of free energy that's going to go to work to wake you up in this dream? And your dream will become your actual day-to-day living reality. So how many of you saw yourself with Mr. Right? I'll bet a lot of you saw yourself with a companion, with a partner in your life, with a person for you to love and for that person to love you. Because, you know, that's really what life is all about, loving and being loved. And everybody knows now, because it's certainly been scientifically proven, that when you are loving and being loved, you are happy and you live longer. I mean, even if the relationship is just with your dog or you belong to a special group and when you're together, you all feel loved and you all love one another. You know, I'm a member of the U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary here in California, and I am a watchstander at the U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary Station Gracie in Oceanside, California, and I have met the most wonderful people through the auxiliary. The members of this Oceanside flotilla have welcomed me and devoted themselves to making sure that I am fully trained and that I have all of the credentials I need to be on the radio for the Coast Guard. And they have built up my confidence to do this and stood beside me as I learned. And they just have been so fantastic. And I have made friendships here that are true. No competitions. No petty fussing. We are the Coast Guard. And each of us is personally dedicated to our mission. So together, we're an amalgamated energy force that serves the boating community as well as the public at large. And one of the members of our flotilla passed this year, and I'm taking his widow to the annual memorial marker ceremony at the end of this month, because her husband's name will be on that memorial marker. And we as a flotilla will stand shoulder to shoulder with her in honor and respect and in memory of his service and his dedication to the Coast Guard. And she will not be alone. She will be surrounded by all of us, and we will stand in love together. Now, in the introduction of my book, Seven Things to Do While Waiting for Mr. Right, I say that after 20 years of marrying brides and grooms at the beach in Laguna Beach, it is my absolute conviction that every woman wants to be married. I don't care if she says it's not important. I don't care if she says she doesn't. Down deep inside the core of her, I believe, she wants to be married. And so what we're seeing today, you know, women living with men without being married, this has created a society that has resulted in the woman having less value than she once had. And this has triggered an avalanche of women trying to be like men now in order to try to gain back some of the power that they have lost. And the end result of that is that women today are in one of the most precarious positions that they have ever been in their life. And that's really why I'm doing this show every week for a while on Friday night at 5 o'clock at the end of the work week, when many people are looking towards the weekend and the possibility of some fun or some relaxation or something different. And if a person is single, that is also why I've given the 17 things to do while waiting for Mr. Right in my book. So we're starting the show tonight at the summer solstice, which is a change. It's a change from spring into summer. And summer is a time we think about for having vacations, to be able to be outside more and enjoy the warm sun and nature. And most weddings are in the summer. And I have two weddings this weekend. Both couples told me that they love the summertime and they wanted to be married at the summer solstice. And here in California, we do have the most perfect conditions for being married outside. We don't have any humidity, no bugs, you know, no flies or mosquitoes, and most importantly, no rain. We have no rain here in California from the end of April until the beginning of November. So we never have to worry about a rain shower ruining everything. And also, even if it's hot during the day, along around 4 o'clock, there's this nice little breeze that comes in off the ocean and cools it off. And by 5 p.m., it's just perfect for a beach wedding. Perfect. And last weekend, I had a 20-year vow renewal. And I opened that ceremony by saying, we are here today to celebrate 20 years of a happy, happy marriage. To celebrate the love of two people who are just as much in love today with one another as they were when they stood on the shores of the Pacific Ocean in Maui 20 years ago today. And I have been marrying couples here at the beach myself for 20 years. So it's a celebration for me. And because of this, two auspicious and noteworthy occasions, the President of the United States came to Laguna Beach today. And all the guests clapped. It was true that President Obama was in North Laguna Beach earlier that day. He had been brought in by a huge motorcade with tanks on the ground and Navy ships on the ocean and helicopters in the sky. And while he was here for a private event in Emerald Bay, still his presence graced our city and his blessing spread even to the beach where we were doing the ceremony. And everybody laughed and laughed and clapped and clapped. You know, I've only had two unhappy brides in 20 years. One was my fault. It was kind of a mix-up about the location, and we were finally able to do everything for her. But the other one was just a very unhappy person who was not going to be happy no matter what anyone did. I felt so sorry for the groom of this woman. They had had a child together, but the child was already 4 years old, so she'd been waiting for 4 years for him to marry her. And finally, he was doing what she wanted him to do, and still all she could do was complain. And my staff and I looked at one another wondering if maybe this was why it had taken him so long to finally get married. And it seemed to us that he might have been using maybe marijuana, because he couldn't remember if he had the rings. He couldn't remember where he had put his money to pay me. First he told me he didn't have it and to get it from her, and then he told me he had it in his truck and he would give it to me after the ceremony. And he didn't even look at her while they said their vows. Now, I believe this woman got pregnant deliberately to trap this guy. He was a good-looking, well-built young man who is a firefighter, so he has a good job. And this woman was very homely. And in her vows, she said that he made her feel beautiful, but he couldn't even look at her while they said their vows. I believe this woman needed to prove she could get a man in order to feel beautiful. I don't think she thought of herself as attractive, and that she probably couldn't get a man unless she offered sex, but she wanted to be married, so she got pregnant. And just for your information, if there are any men listening tonight, a woman can get pregnant even if you just have oral sex. So the issue of pregnancy is a matter of responsibility of each person, the man and the woman. So as I do this show every week, I'll be discussing this again and again. And in my book, I suggest that a woman doesn't have sex with a man until she has a ring on her finger, a wedding date set, and all the deposits have been paid for the wedding. And when I did my book tour, women would tell me, well, Marcy Ann, if I don't have sex with him, he will just go find somebody else who will. And I said, yes, that's true. But let me ask you a question. Do you want to have sex or do you want to get married? And do you think a man wants to marry a woman who has been to bed with 10 other guys before him? So let's just think about our present position. If you're listening to the show tonight, you're probably alone. You don't have a companion right now, but you would like to have a companion. And maybe a few people might be listening who are with someone right now, but in my book I say a someone is not good enough. So if you're not alone right now, you might be with Mr. Wrong, or maybe just a someone. Because the first step you need to take is to become alone. And then, for those of you who are already alone, this week, take the ideas we have discussed tonight and think about them. And perhaps you will begin to consider that being alone is really not such a bad thing. After all, you have a kind of freedom. Your life is simple. And you know what? It's really kind of nice. So I'm going to give you your homework for next week. Perhaps you could do it this weekend. If you are a woman, take yourself out to dinner. Choose a restaurant that is fancy and has good food. Make a reservation. Get your hair and nails done. Even get a new dress. And call a taxi to take you there. And look absolutely fantastic. And take yourself out to dinner. And if you are a man, your homework is to cook a meal or do your laundry or scrub the bathroom floor. And until next week at this time, this is Marcy Ann saying aloha. Aloha in the Hawaiian language means hello, goodbye, and I am happy with you.
Thanks for listening to The Finding Mr. Right Show with your host, Marcy Ann. You can purchase Marcy Ann's book at www.MrRightForMe.com or reach Marcy Ann on Facebook at facebook.com/Marcy.Cheek. And please join us every week on Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time for more ways to Finding Mr. Right.